Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
John chapter 10, we're going to continue in our series called Jesus. And one of the things that I would like to make sure that we are at least aware of, because I don't necessarily believe that we're guilty of it, but one of the things that I want us to make sure that we're aware of, and not just as we gather, but any time that we get into the Word of God, but specifically as we are studying Jesus, it's important for us to remember that we're not here to learn about Jesus in the context of Him being like a topic, like we would study other historical figures. You know what I mean? It's very important that we're careful that we don't just look at Jesus as a topic, because the danger in that approach is that we may gain information, but the goal is transformation. Okay? We always want to remember that. Whenever we're into the Word of God, wherever we're studying and we're in the presence of the Lord, we don't just want to gain information, because it's very important that our goal is transformation. And we see this in society. They have a lot of information about Jesus, and that's as far as it goes. And it ranges all the way from, well, you know, the Bible's got some good ideas, and Jesus, he was a good man, and so on, that kind of a deal, all the way to, you know, the Bible is just an antiquated book. It doesn't really have any relevance to me today. It's out of fashion. You know, it's not in fashion, and so on. Well, what are they basing that on? They're just basing that on this shallow, if you will, type of information that they're just processing in their own mind. And so we know the Word of God is full of knowledge, but if that's as far as we take it, it's just a book of knowledge, then we're never going to get to where God wants us, because there again, He wants us to be transformed into His likeness. It's not just a head full of knowledge, but it's transformation. How does this happen? Paul said like this in Ephesians 4. You can turn there if you'd like. I'm in verse 23. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes, talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He said, allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to renew your thoughts and to renew your attitudes. Put on your new nature. How many know the Bible says that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus? Old things are passed away. All things have become new. But those things that are new, it's a process, and we have to put those things on as we grow in our relationship with Christ. And there are some things that we have to put off, right? We want to make sure that we understand that. So we put on the new nature that is created to be like God, which is righteousness, and it's holiness, or a holy life. And he says we do that by learning God's truth. But not only that, there again, that's just information. But we take the next step and we make application. There again, the Holy Spirit is illuminating the Word of God to us and helping us to properly apply the Word of God to our lives. He says, and what happens is we'll throw off our sinful nature and the former ways of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. See, information leads to a head full of knowledge, but transformation leads to a life full of Christ, which is what we want, right? And so we don't ever want to approach this just like a subject like math, you know, like 2 + 2 = 4. Well, that's wonderful to have that information, but we don't want to approach Jesus that way, because He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Messiah. Amen. And so it's so much more than just a topic. There again, the goal comes through the Holy Spirit transforming our lives, giving us the wisdom to apply the knowledge we learn from the Word of God to our particular situation. So let's start in John chapter 10, and let's start with verse 7. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, let's there again not forget the context of Scripture. All of these seven statements that Jesus made, all of them, we're looking at them in the context of Jesus being the Messiah. It's important when you study Scripture that you understand the context of the Scripture that you're reading or the truth that you're reading. Because how many times can we get sidetracked with our own emotion or with our own situation or with our own perception or our limited ability to understand the bigger picture? We want to make sure that we get the context of what's being said, because that'll help us to rightly divide or interpret the Word of God. And that's what we want to do today. So these seven statements that we're looking at that Jesus is making is all in the context of Him being the Messiah and Him fulfilling all of those prophecies, all of the things that He did is all in line with Him being who He said He is, which is the Messiah. And so the context of John chapter 10 is just that. Jesus is the Messiah, and He's helping them to understand by using current day examples of what that looks like. And He said, I'm the door to the sheep. Now, and He's saying that in context, there again, let me say it one more time, of Him being the Messiah. He goes on to verse 8 and He says, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, there again, the context of what He's saying is He's simply speaking of people who claim to be Christ. Just like today, there's a lot of people around, false teachers, false prophets, who deceive unwitting people, and it happens, unfortunately, on a daily basis. And so we have to remember that the culture of that day is just like ours, steeped in cult. And if you don't believe so, just look at, golly, at least 80% of the commercials on TV are talking about the new fall lineup and how much of the occultism is in that and witchcraft and so on. I mean, they're doing that for a reason. We may not necessarily be bowing down to an idol, but people are in their everyday life searching for something to fill that void, something to worship. They fill that void with all kinds of things because they're looking for Christ. Amen. And so our culture is full of false gods and a lot of people who are simply being deceived by Satan. And so what Jesus is doing is He's making a distinction between Him and them, which He does in just about every one of these statements that we're looking at. He says, the sheep didn't listen. There again, there is a certain group of people who will always be faithful to God. And aren't you glad you're part of that? And so we're not going to be deceived by those false gods. We're not going to be deceived by false teachers, but we're going to be led by the Spirit, right? Into what? Into truth. Into a closer relationship with God. So verse 9, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he'll go in and he'll go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. Here again, he's making a very clear distinction. He said, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So what is he doing here? He's drawing a clear line in the sand, as Jesus often did. Listen, even today, when somebody is face to face with Christ or a truth about it, they have to make a decision. Walking away and doing nothing is a decision. It's not that he's trying to, divide us against each other, but it's simply the fact that you either are going to accept him as the Messiah or you're not. You're either going to follow him or you're not. If you decide, well, maybe in a couple weeks I might be ready, you're deciding to not follow Christ. You have to make that decision. That's just the way that it is. And so here he's drawing this line in the sand and he's saying, I am the Messiah. That's the context, or that's the big picture. And the statement that he's making in that context is, I am the door. So what is he saying in light of him being the Messiah? When he says, I am the door of the sheep. Well, back in those days, there was a farming community and so on. Today, we don't necessarily live in a farming community. You know what I mean? You know, we have a lot of ranches around and stuff. And we may know somebody, you know, who has a cow or a sheep or a dog or a cat or a couple chickens. You know what I mean? How many know somebody? But for the most part, most don't. Well, back in the Bible days, that most were farmers. So they understood what Jesus was saying because he was using terms that they could easily relate to. I'm so glad that the Lord does that he doesn't make it difficult for us to understand the gospel. If we just open to him, it'll be real clear to us. And so they would have what they would call a sheepfold, which is simply this fenced-in area, whether it was made of rock or whatever the case may be. But essentially, at night, would herd or drive the sheep into this area, and then the shepherd would stand in the doorway. The only access, basically, that they would have would be that doorway, and he would stand there. Why do you think that they would be in the door or the access to get to the sheep? Protection. See, there's a lot of things out there, wolves and lions and bears and so on. Even David, you know, talks about how he literally with his own two paws took on a lion. And so, I mean, I can't even imagine that. But he said, oh, I took care. Why did he do that? Because he was protecting the sheep. Every good shepherd protects his sheep. They understood that. So when Jesus said to them, I am the door of the sheep, and if anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. They knew what he was talking about. And he was there again, not only just talking about him being the Messiah, which was the context of why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost, right? He wants everyone to be saved. That's his goal. He would that no one perish. And so when he came to the earth, that was the context of his life. But he says, not only am I the Messiah, but also he says, you can be safe in me. Because there's others out there who are doing what? Trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a good deal to me. So what Jesus is saying, he's saying to them, he says, unlike the other gods that you are serving, he says, you can be safe in me. He was telling them, I am your access to protection. So here we see Jesus there again, which I love, is he's giving us a glimpse into his heart. He's giving us a glimpse into what he truly wants for his children. Because one more time, he's standing there that day and he's offering them access to safety, just like he did when he told Adam and Eve, you can have the fruit off of every tree, just not that one. Just like when he used Moses to lead them out of Egypt's bondage, and God promised them that if they would fully obey him in everything that they did, he said, literally, you will be blessed. All you put your hands to will be blessed. He said, every one of your enemies will be defeated, and all the people of the earth will fear you. Just like when Joshua said to them, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And we could go on and on and on about all the times that God offered protection, if you will, safety to his children. Just like there Jesus is standing and it says, I will protect you. All you have to do is enter by me. How about in our lives today? Did you know that you can build the most secure home with walls that are reinforced? I mean, cement 3 feet thick. And you've got the best bulletproof windows that money can buy and the best security system that money can buy. But if you don't put a door on the place, guess what happens? You allow access to anyone and everyone, to you, your family, and all your possessions, just because you don't have a door. Doors are vital for safety, and not just any door, but in the very same home, you can hang up a sheet. And you can call it a door, but guess what'll happen? That sheet won't even stop the breeze from blowing through your house, let alone a thief. So you can't just put anything there and call it a door. What's interesting is how many people today spend a lifetime trying to build their life. They've got a good job and they've got a beautiful family and all kinds of good things, and that's wonderful and that's what we should do. But here's the deal. The problem is that with all that they build, they leave out oftentimes the most important thing that will protect their most valuable possessions, and that's Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that in those days where you didn't have anything over your door, speaking in the context of Christ, that he still protected your family, still gave you opportunity to have access to protection? What a thought. You can replace a stolen TV. You can replace stolen cars. You can replace stolen money. I make a joke with Kelly. She says, man, this stuff is expensive. I said, it's only money. You'll get more next week. You can replace a lot of those things, but you can't replace your family. You can't replace a home filled with peace. You can't replace a soul. So the only answer is Jesus Christ. And he's saying to us, even right now, right in this very moment, he says, if you enter by me, you'll be safe. He's our access to protection. And then he goes on and he says, and we'll go out and we'll go in and we'll find pasture. So picture this, if you will. The sheep are all in the sheepfold. The shepherd is at the door and he's protecting them. He's been on watch, on guard all night. And as the dawn breaks and the sun is coming up and it's a beautiful day, guess what he does? He gets the sheep together and they follow him. And what does he do? He leads them out to pasture. What does that mean? It's simple. He's simply leading them to where they can get their food or their sustenance, their nourishment for that day. I mean, what a picture of Jesus. Now, oftentimes, you know, depending on the season or the terrain or how things were, the journey could be real quick or it could take some time. And the reason is because he wants to lead them to where the food is, to where sufficient water is, to where they'll be safe. Does that sound like Jesus? You know, sometimes in our journey, we feel like, man, this is sure taking an awful long time, Lord. But there again, what is the goal? Simple. The goal is protection. The goal is to lead us to where we have nourishment. Now, if you look at the gods that they served in those days, and even if you look, sad to say, but at a lot of the religious leaders of that day where Jesus was, they were always demanding more than what the people could do. You ever had a boss like that? I mean, I'm giving you everything I have. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so this was what they were going through on a consistent basis. And Jesus even confronted them in Matthew 23, and he said this. He said, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads, and they put them on other people's shoulders. But they themselves aren't even willing to lift a finger to lighten their load. So this is what they were used to. This is the system that they were used to. And so here Jesus comes along and he's introducing this whole new idea, this whole thought of grace. It's by grace you're saved. You can't do anything to earn it. I'm the Messiah, so it's all going to be through me. My blood is sufficient. You're accustomed to heavy loads being put on you. But he said, take my yoke on you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, this is totally contrary to what they were accustomed to. He said, you come in and you go out. I'll keep you safe, but I'll lead you to pasture. So instead of you always having to give to me, I'm going to supply for you. In other words, I'm your access to provision. Now, I love going home and closing the door behind me, because when the door shuts behind me, it's almost like the world disappears, you know. It's kind of like our little oasis. You know, I tell Jill, you know, it ain't much, but it's ours. You know what I mean? It's our little oasis. And so the only thing that can get in there is whatever we allow. And we're pretty tight on what we allow into the house. Why? Because we value peace, quiet, serenity, rest. So I love going home and closing the door behind me. And when that door shuts, everything disappears. I get to spend time with my family. But how many know that that very same door that shuts the world out is the very same door that I have to go right back out in and enter the world? Within just a very few short hours, it seems like, right back into the middle of it all. You see, but here's the deal. For those who are in Christ, it's different because he's our door. May not necessarily be physical, but without question, spiritual. And that's the most important anyways. He's our door. He's the one that's leading us to pasture. And guess what? If we follow him and if we do it God's way, Proverbs 10:22 gives us this promise. The blessing of the Lord will bring wealth. There again, what is wealth? Wealth is simple. Wealth is simply access over need. I guarantee that if you begin to understand that, it will revolutionize your approach to everything that you do. If you understand that wealth is simply excess over my needs. He goes on and he says this, without pain, or in other words, the blessing of the Lord will bring wealth without painful toil for it. Now that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. That doesn't mean we don't have to put effort in. I call it sweat equity. Little blood, sweat, and tears, that's okay. Get some skin involved in the game, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Where you get out and you work and you sweat some and all this and that. But what happens, you see, is that we don't have to get it by hook or crook. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? You know, you don't have to be deceptive. You when you get back home, you don't have to wonder if anybody followed you on the way home. You know, you take all kinds of side roads, you know, just to make sure did I lose them? You know, you don't have to do any of those things. You don't have to worry about your home and about those things that you have. You could just put in an honest day's labor. And when we go back home, we can have restful sleep, no anxiety for tomorrow, not wondering if everything's going to happen, no sense of hopelessness or feeling like you're trapped in a dead-end job. We can be home and we can be satisfied because our labor has been blessed by God. Boy, that sounds like a whole lot better situation than what most people in America go through today. He says, I'm going to give you access to provision like that. There again, boy, that's a great deal. I know that there's a lot of people who take credit for their wealth and they take credit for all their accomplishments. But the Bible says to be careful because he says this, Deuteronomy 8 and 18, remember that the Lord, he is God, and he is the one who gives us the power to gain wealth or the power, the ability to be successful. It's vital we remember that Jesus is the one that gives access to our provision. And if we do it his way, we'll never have want. Not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually. That's a deal right there. You say, yeah, but pastor, I feel like I'm at a dead-end job. You know, I'm going nowhere, and boy, my boss, not very nice. Ever been there? Yeah, we all have, I'm sure. I mean, we can all relate to that feeling of being in a dead-end job. Here's what I would encourage you to do, change bosses. And I know I've said this before, but I think it's important, especially in the context of our study today, and Jesus being our provider. I would encourage you to change bosses. What do I mean by that? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7, listen to this, work wholeheartedly. In other words, with enthusiasm and a good attitude, as if you were working for the Lord, not for people. That's how you can change your boss. You see, what happens is you shift your focus on Jesus. And so as you do your work, in reality, it's Jesus who's your boss. It's not the guy or the gal that's sitting in the big office. It's the guy sitting in the real big office. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know what will happen is he will be your boss. But not only that, is that he'll give you grace for the very season of life that you're in. And when you shift your focus on Jesus, guess what will happen? You'll find that your purpose there is more than just to gain wealth, but it's to be salt and light. That changes everything. And as you work for him, guess what will happen? All of a sudden, the worry about tomorrow, the worry about all those things, man, if I could only make $3 more an hour, then I could have this or I could have that. Or if I only did so and so and such, when you begin to shift your focus, all of a sudden, you begin to have peace, even though your job situation hasn't changed. But now when you go, you're going with a much deeper purpose because you got a glimpse of the bigger picture. You see, you're operating with eternity in mind. You'll find, at least I know in my own life, satisfaction like I never experienced in any other area of my life. It really is amazing. Finally today, when you shift your focus onto Jesus, opportunity will avail itself because he's our access to potential. So often when we leave the house, we leave that door in the morning, we open it and we look outside and we just kind of, you know, our attitude, so off to work I go, you know, and we're not singing, la, 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 you know. It's like, oh, help me, Father. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, while you may owe, you may owe, the truth of the matter is that for the Christian, we're literally following Jesus out the door into pasture. In the morning when you get up, I want you to really picture that. Okay, instead of the I owe, off to work I go, I want you to actually begin to picture that you are being led by Jesus Christ himself. Not just some ordinary Joe who struggles like we do, but we're following Jesus and he's leading us into pasture, into supply, into the things that we'll need for today. I know some days are filled with trouble and you might feel as though you don't accomplish anything, but trust me, I want you to shift your focus onto Jesus because your wealth is not the only goal. He's leading you to where you can be salt and light, and the opportunities are endless. You say, but if I only had a little more energy, if I only had a little more money, if I only had a little bit more of this, what are you doing? What you're doing is you're measuring your potential by yourself, by your own strength, by your own resource, and that's always dangerous. Let me encourage you today. Don't measure your potential by your ability or by your wealth or strength or by an economy. The economy is really doing great, and so everybody's happy. Wait a couple years and it could tank. I mean, who knows what? Don't measure your potential by an economy. Don't even measure your potential by how big the mountain is that's in front of you or by how big the enemy is that's fighting against you, because the measure of your potential is found in Christ. Jesus said it this way, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jeremiah said, oh Lord God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Now that's the kind of guy I want on my side. How about you? Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. So I would admonish you today to remember that God's potential is limitless. His grace and his power is available to you to accomplish his will. No good thing will he withhold from you as you pursue him and pursue his will. So don't be intimidated by your circumstances or by your limitations. And whatever you do, don't be settled by where you are today. Because everything that you need, all of the opportunities that waits before you, the protection, the provision, and your potential will go beyond your greatest expectations if you simply put your trust in Christ.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.